You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
You did state in your questionnaire that anything you had heard, you'd be able to put out of your mind and render an impartial verdict, correct?
Correct.
And you agree that this defendant has an absolute right to a fair trial?
Yes.
And to start out with a clean slate?
Yes.
And so can you commit to this court, to the state, to the defendant, that you will set aside anything that you have heard and render an impartial verdict based solely on the evidence in this court?
Yes, I can.
State has no further questions, Your Honor.
No questions, Judge. All right. Juror number 1366, then, in addition, there are some questions I'll have about the part of your questionnaire you filled out called Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty. Do you remember when you came in last week and went through this questionnaire, thinking through and answering those questions?
Yes.
All right. The questionnaire then, first let me advise you that it may be necessary for you to actually make a determination in this case in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And so remember, any penalty you consider should be done as if it is absolute and will be carried out in the case. So with that in mind, when you filled out your questionnaire, you had a choice of whether or not you support or oppose the death penalty. You said you support the death penalty. Is that still the way you feel here today?
Yes.
All right, the next question I'll have relates to the choice you made when you had seven different choices that describe what most accurately represents the way you feel. You circled a selection saying, I am generally opposed to the death penalty, but I believe I can put aside my feelings against the death penalty and impose it if it is called for by the law, I'm sorry, by the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that the way you still feel about it as you sit here today?
Yes.
All right, so you would follow any instruction the court gives on that topic if that occurs in the case?
Yes.
Are you in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder's been committed?
No.
Okay, is there anything else to be concerned about in terms of your views on the death penalty and anything you think where your views could substantially impair or prevent you from serving as a juror in this case?
No.
All right, I don't have any additional questions on that with this juror. Does the state have any voir dire on the death penalty questions?
No, Your Honor.
No questions, Judge.
Okay, juror number 1366, thank you for returning back. We'll have the bailiff take you back to the jury room while we talk to our other jurors, and then you'll receive further instructions. Next up, 1382. All right, next juror we're going to talk to is juror 1382. This juror did indicate some knowledge of the case through prior media exposure to the case, and we want to talk to you about that. And again, you can discuss that in as much detail as you can so that we know where you stand on those issues without the other jurors here present. And I don't believe the issue of hardship was necessarily before the court at this time, so the state wants to inquire on voir dire and bias. Do that, and who will be doing that?
I will, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Mr. Woods.
Thank you. And again, thank you for being here. And there's no right or wrong answers to the questions we're asking. We just want to get a feel for who your perspectives are. I want to start just by drawing your attention to page 18 of your questionnaire. And overall, it does not appear like you have a lot of information about the case, but you did indicate some information. Besides Channel 7 News that you mentioned, do you recall seeing any other news reports or documentaries or anything?
I have not. I mean, it's not a recall or a not recall. I have not.
I simply haven't seen that.
I've watched some commercials for Channel 7. So, story coming up at 10. I've gotten some headlines. That's about it.
So then on page 18, you did note, I've seen some Channel 7 news reports years ago regarding the bodies being found and her being arrested. So I'm just going to ask, as you sit there today, from what you can recall or remember, do you remember which bodies and where they were found?
No, I know that I remember seeing, like you said, the previews to the stories and showing them an aerial view of a property. So, no.
So is it fair to say that you don't even remember the names of the alleged victims, if you never even knew them? Do you recall them as you sit there?
No, but I might be able to. No. I mean, if I sat here long enough, I probably could pick up the names.
Right.
I don't.
Okay. Would it be safe to say that whatever information you did glean from the news over the years, could you set aside anything that you've learned from the news if you're asked to be a juror and just listen to evidence as it comes in and then make your own decision about whether or not there's, well, guilt or not guilt, no guilt?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then would you commit, I noticed on page 19, he said everyone has a right to their day in court and be, I'll say, to be considered innocent until proven guilty. Okay. So you'll commit to that you won't make a decision about the defendant's guilt unless and until the state meets their burden and actually proves that he's guilty. Is that fair?
Yes.
No, I don't have any more questions.
All right. Mr. Rickson from the defense.
Just very briefly, ma'am, you had a very strong opinion about media. So I don't think I have any concerns about you listening to anything the media says. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay.
And quite frankly,
you...
Use your microphone, Mr. Pryor.
It is on, Judge. And I'm sorry, I'll speak into it. And you were very specific when you said everybody has a right to their day in court, and you underline the proven, which means you're going to make them prove their case, the prosecutors, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you, ma'am, for your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I have one question I'll raise in terms of the hardship section. You talked about your position at work going 24/7, and you said I would just work after the court hours. One concern I'd like to talk through with you is if you're thinking might continue with full or part-time employment, if you find this to be taking up all of your mental energy and you're not able to work the way you think you would, are you concerned that you might have some hardship if you really can't work while this trial's going?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. My position is it could probably be done extremely easily with remote, and I do have backup in other, I'm one of a group in HR, so I'm not restricted to the parts that I'm participating in at work.
Okay. If there were a time that you were sequestered a week, possibly 2 weeks, and you just simply couldn't work at all, would that create any kind of hardship?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for just answering those follow-up questions for me. The other topic I want to discuss with you is on your attitudes regarding the death penalty. That's a section that we had you fill out in the questionnaire. Do you recall that?
Yes.
I'll advise you in this case that it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And remember that any penalty you consider should be done as if it is absolute and will be carried out in this case. You understand that?
Yes.
All right. When you had a choice of do you support or oppose the death penalty, you didn't like the choice of yes or no and circled support, clicked the box, and also wrote depends next to it. And that's fine. This is designed to understand how you think about it. And so it looked like yes or no was not enough description for you. You also checked a choice saying, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. So could you explain, as you sit here, as best you can, your views on the death penalty?
Yes, my issue or my choice of answers have more to do with the question. So at the end, when all of the evidence has been shown, then ask me yes or no. I wouldn't want it to be taken out of context.
Okay.
Whether I would agree, yes, death penalty is appropriate, or no, it's not. Because I think it's all situational on the facts of the case, not just an open-ended question.
All right. If you are given specific instructions in this case that say you are to consider the death penalty, would you follow those instructions?
Yes, absolutely.
And if you were given instructions that say you are not to consider the death penalty, would you follow those as well?
Yes, sir.
Are you in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed? Okay. Is there anything about your views on the death penalty that would prevent or substantially impair you from serving as a juror in this case and following any instructions the court would give?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. That will conclude the court's voir dire. Does the state have any voir dire questions?
We do not, Your Honor.
No questions, Judge.
All right, thank you, Juror 1382. That will conclude our questioning of you in individual voir dire. I'll have you return with the bailiff to the jury room, and we'll give you some more instructions once we talk to the other jurors. So next talk to Juror 1436. All right, Juror 1436. All right, Juror number 1436 is returned for individual voir dire. Going to talk to you about the knowledge you have about this case. You do have some. Please openly discuss any facts or details you're asked about. And why don't we start there with the state conducting voir dire on potential bias.
Okay. Hi. So I have a few questions for you about media exposure, and there's no wrong answers. Obviously, you know, nobody's going to hold anything against you that you saw in the media before you ever knew that you might be called as a juror on this case. So please just feel very comfortable answering these questions where you felt. So it looks from your questionnaire like you did get a decent amount of media exposure in this case. And you indicated that you felt that Mr. Daybell looks guilty according to the news reports.
Well, you know, I didn't see a ton of things, and I can't even remember everything now because it was a while ago.
Sure.
But just the way the questionnaire was written, which I forget how it was exactly written, you know, saying, well, if you were to make a decision based on, you know, what you've seen in the reports and everything, then yeah.
Okay. So if you had to make a decision based on what you've seen on the reports, you would feel that he was guilty. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in the questionnaire, the way it asks, just kind of was like, you know, okay, so you were exposed to some media. So I did see some things on the news back then. It wasn't something I followed or anything, but you know, you see it, it comes on the local news or whatever. So it was like, oh, your perception, you know, they're implying something happened. He's in trouble, you know?
Sure.
So
do you mind kind of telling us what you do know about the case from what you saw in the news reports?
Let me think. Just that there was two people killed. I didn't know if there were three, but there were two people killed that were children. And that, you know, it involved the husband and wife, and that they ran off to Hawaii together. So that was pretty much, and that the bodies were found on one of the properties.
Okay. Did you watch any court proceedings?
No.
Okay.
Didn't watch anything like that.
And it looks like there was a comment in here that you wrote, he may be mentally ill. Do you want to kind of talk about that a little bit?
Well, I forget what the question was.
It was, have you formed any personal opinions whatsoever based on information from any source of Chad Daybell's guilt or innocence?
Yeah, my thought was kind of like if he he or she had done something like this, that that person would have had to have some problems that would cause them to do that. I was trying to answer him honest.
Of course, no, that's great.
So it seems like a blanket statement, but that was the only way I thought I really could answer it on paper like that is, you know, I guess if somebody did something like this, something wasn't right.
Of course, no, and it's great that you answered those questions, okay. Honestly. That's exactly why we're all here, and we are all very, very appreciative of your willingness to be so open with us. And just so you know, this is, it's very common for us to ask people who've had media exposure these very specific questions. Right. Did you watch any documentaries about this case?
Oh, no, no.
Did you go looking for it on TikTok or anything like that? In the questionnaire, you did indicate that you had formed some opinions on Mr. Daybell's guilt based on the media reports, but you indicated that you'd be able to put those opinions out of your, put out of your mind, which you had heard in the media. Is that still?
Yeah, the way I took kind of the questions being asked, like, okay, you saw so much, this is what you saw. What would your conclusion be from that? So that's kind of what I was answering. But when it came to actually being in a court and making that decision, those things would be put to the side.
Okay.
Miss Mady here too, you are going pretty quick, and with this particular juror, I know it's been a real long day for our reporters, so if we can make sure there's no talking at the same time as well.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Madam Court Reporter. So you're going to be instructed during this trial that Mr. Daybell is entitled to a presumption of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
That means that as he sits here right now and up until the state is finished with its case, he's presumed innocent until we meet our burden of proof.
Right.
Is that something that you'd be comfortable with?
Yes.
And you understand that nothing that you've seen in the news or on TV is evidence?
Yes, I understand. Yes.
And that evidence is what comes out in court? Testimony, any exhibits, anything like that?
Yes.
Okay. I have no additional questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Beatty. Mr. Pryor.
Oh. Good afternoon.
Hello.
We spoke earlier, but you have your questionnaire with you?
I do.
Okay, let's turn to page 14. Number two at the very bottom. Question is, what have you heard or what do you know about defendant Chad Guy Daybell? You see that?
Mm-hmm.
You wrote in there, on trial for murder of several people, he may have mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the only, I just want you to clarify, you said that's what you heard and that's what you know. So at the time of this writing, what you know is that he has mental issues?
No. I was just going on based on the news report and things that I've heard about him. Because, I mean, obviously he wasn't on trial. So when I said that, you know, I'm assuming that this person is on trial because of it, you know, and I wasn't following it. So, but, I was saying, just like I was telling her earlier, that first, if somebody did commit a crime like this, my initial thought would maybe there were some mental problems.
Okay. And is that still your opinion now?
What?
Mr. Daybell has mental issues?
No, I was just going by the reports that what I had read from the news media, and you were asking me if I could form an opinion from that would be the opinion I would form. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Okay. Then we can go to page 19. And under item number 10D.
Yeah, 10D.
10D.
Thank you.
And under 10D, talks about the media exposure and again the publicity around the case, whether you formed an opinion of guilt or innocence. And you said yes.
Yeah, I kind of took the question as being what opinion would you form based on what you've heard about.
And that's fair.
Yeah. So I was kind of giving an answer to, well, this is
And when you wrote this at the time, which was well, several days ago, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said he looks guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And you were basing that's your opinion at the time you wrote this, after looking at all of the media and everything that you've been presented, he looks guilty.
Yeah, if you go by what the information I received in the media,
right.
My initial thought is, yeah, the guy's probably guilty.
And that's fair, if that's what you believe. You also believe that at the time that you have to make your judgment, that you have to block out your personal opinion and look at regardless of whether you think he's guilty today or not, right?
Right.
You have to push that off to the side, correct?
Right.
And by pushing that off to the side, you then have to look at this thing and say, I have to be neutral despite the fact that I feel like he's guilty. Are you able to do that?
Yes.
But if we go back, your impression now, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the impression now is that, you know, Mr. Daybell looks guilty and I think he's guilty. But if I get chosen for the jury, I will block that opinion of mine that I've already made, and I will judge him fairly. Is that where you stand on this?
I don't know that I believe he's guilty.
Okay.
I kind of took the questionnaire as it's saying, you got this information, what opinion would you form from this information? So that was the opinion form. I don't necessarily believe that he's guilty or not guilty at this point.
Okay. But
I know I could put that aside.
And surprisingly, that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Oh.
And you gave me exactly what I wanted to hear. Judge, I have nothing further. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. So juror 1436, then.
Your Honor, I'm going to move to excuse this juror. I'm going to sort of leave it to the court. I understand that she's saying she could put this aside, but given the depth of media exposure, we do have some residual concerns, Your Honor. So I just wanted to put that in front of the court.
Response from the defense.
I appreciate everything you've done. I don't know, but I even the media judge, I think that would concur.
All right. There are some comments in there. There is previous exposure. This is a long trial, a complicated case, and as we've seen with many other people, we do have some concern that maybe thoughts and knowledge about where you already are might creep into where we're going in this case. And so you've been very candid with us. We appreciate that. I'm going to sustain the strike made by the state, and with no objection from the defense, juror 1436 is excused based on potential bias, and for that reason, we'll let you go. Thank you for taking all your time to fill out the questionnaire and returning today. I'll have you return your questionnaire to the bailiff, and your jury service is concluded.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So next talk to juror number 1503. All right, thank you for returning, juror 1503. We've got some additional follow-up questioning for you based on responses in your questionnaire, as well as indicating today in group voir dire that you have some knowledge about the case. Let's go ahead and allow the state to... There was also some talk of hardship, but let's start off with this knowledge of the case on voir dire. The state would like to start this voir dire on that issue. You can do that.
Sure. Thank you, Your Honor. Juror 1503, thanks for being here.
Sure.
And again, you've already heard this. There's no right or wrong answers. We just want you to tell us how you see things, how you feel and think about things. And it looks like from your questionnaire, you have seen some media on this case, both from local, national news and internet. What have you seen on this case?
Basically just, like I said, a lot of print news, national as well as local. Some of the outcomes of some of the other connected parties, I guess, want to say it that way. Just like a lot of news coverage, things that happen in Idaho, you know, whether it's Erie Nation's coverage or other type of activities that are high profile stuff, you know, you would read have about this kind of thing. So just local interest kind of stuff. So.
Sure. Yeah. And yeah, no one can hold up against you for wanting to read the news and being informed. You did mention just now, I don't know that it was in your questionnaire, but that you were aware of outcomes in a companion case, and I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, well, yeah. So in terms of the other people that were involved, like I said, I don't know how.
Well,
I don't know how. I just tell.
Oh, sorry about that.
So yeah, I didn't know what was allowed, you know, in terms of details, in terms of that kind of stuff, going into any more other than, like I said, you know, other people that I guess have gone to court.
And, right.
Yeah, just what the outcomes of some of those things are.
And so we're in here just with you individually right okay. now so that you can be completely okay. candid without worrying about anybody else hearing it. So it sounds like, did you follow the trial of Lori Ballo?
A little bit, but like I said, most of it was the outcome and what was finally handed down, I guess.
And so you know what happened in that case. I want to talk to you about a couple of your answers in the questionnaire. Starting with on page 15, at the very bottom, it says, if you did follow these cases, has that caused you to already form an opinion regarding the guilt or innocence of the defendant in this case? And you said, subconscious opinions may have formed. Okay. Tell us what you mean by that.
So again, you know, I understand, you know, the presumption of innocence for any defendant. But again, it's hard for you to unknow things, right? And like I said, I can go in with the best intentions and saying, you know, I'm going to go and try to be impartial and do all those kinds of things. But subconsciously, there could be some influence from things that you've known or seen or kind of things that subconsciously, and that's why I use that word, creep into your judgment or some of your decision-making process at that time. So like I said, I think that I just try to use that my phrasing and be as clear as I could for that. So.
Being honest about how you feel.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that you, while you would do everything you can to set aside what you've heard based on your experiences and your questionnaire, you do have some concern that what you have heard could affect your judgment in this case?
Yes. I brought that out to be as transparent as I can and saying that, it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to shut out all the things. Because you know, some of these things have been going on for years, and that things, if we've seen things or heard things over the course of years, and you can't just turn them off or just shut that out, you know, it's kind of almost like a known type of thing in your thought process, I guess. So, again, like I said, you know, I would obviously try to do my best in terms of that stuff, but again, that's why I brought up that point to say subconsciously, to try to be as above board as I could in terms of that thought process.
No. Very much appreciate your candor. And it just really quick, it does look like you watched local media, you said CNN, Associated Press, or Reuters on this. Your Honor, we very much appreciate Juror 1503's candor. Based on his answers over the questionnaire and here we would move to excuse Juror 1503 for cause.
All right, response from the defense.
Judge, I think I have to.
Very well. Juror 1503, this is the process we're going through to try to get the most impartial jury we can based on knowledge and information you have from a case that would likely affect your views in this case. Or at least have the appearance they could. We're concerned. I support the strike and will sustain it. And so thank you very much for taking your time and energy to fill out our questionnaire and return when you're supposed to. Your service as a juror in this case is concluded.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. 1537 will be up next. Okay, our next juror we're gonna talk to is 1537. Thank you for returning for individual board hour. I know it's been a long day and afternoon for you. I'll just allow the state if they have any questions on either bias or hardship for this juror.
No, Your Honor.
You may.
No. You know who said?
No, I just confirming he's.
Oh,
the court is allowing me to go to court.
Yeah, Mr. Whitson, please inquire.
Thank you, Judge. Hello, sir. Again, I just have a few questions about a questionnaire. There's no right or wrong answers. Just trying to understand your perspective. I do. Do you have your questionnaire in front of you, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. May I call your attention to page 8? I'm looking at page 8, paragraph 3, and you were asked a question. Do you feel that the jury should be free to disregard the law given in the jury instructions if they disagree with that law? And then you appear to have checked yes. You then made some side notes, some references to Nazis and remember who else. And I can't remember who else you may have mentioned in there. Could you please just explain the comment?
I think I was referring to also the Fugitive Slave Act back in the day, where if you didn't help someone return to slavery, you could be arrested for it. And I think that would be wrong to do. So I think the jury in that case, and if they were in Nazi Germany, some evil law like that, that should be allowed to disregard.
Okay. So do we take that then, if there's something about the legal instructions that this court gives, if you sit as a juror, hear all the evidence, and then feel like you're put in a place where you feel like it's an unfair law, are you indicating that under your conscience, you wouldn't necessarily follow the instruction or follow the law?
Well, this law that supposedly was broken or accused of breaking isn't an unfair law. And I think it was just referring to it in general, is how I read that question. So
okay,
I think there were certain scenarios where it's okay.
Okay, so you don't anticipate having a problem generally following this court's instructions?
No.
Thank you. I'm just going down to a quick reference on page 15. You had noted that you were not really familiar with this case and hadn't really followed media. But you did know, I heard of Lori Vallow from the news.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just let us know, what is it that you remember about Lori Vallow?
I think what I really remember was when everything was going down, my coworkers back in the day, like maybe 3 years ago, were just saying, "Whoa, this is a crazy story." And I remember that name. And I think recently she was convicted, possibly.
Do you happen to remember any of the other names that have come up in the case, like the alleged victims' names?
No.
Do you remember where the alleged crimes had occurred? Anything like that?
Like Idaho.
Is there anything then about what you have learned from the news that would make you think that you wouldn't still give the Sheriff Tate Bell a presumption of innocence and listen to the evidence and then render an impartial verdict?
Can you say that again?
Is there any reason to think that you won't let him have the presumption of innocence?
No.
Okay, just a last question, and really, if maybe I'm thick, I just want to make sure that I do understand you clearly. If in this case, you're a juror, and the judge gives you a set of what will likely be a large number of different instructions to follow, and that will be what will be the law in this case for the jury to apply. If in any event that any given instruction that you see does not feel fair or right or moral to you, will you still be able to apply that instruction as the judge has given it to you, even if you feel it to be immoral or wrong?
I think I would be able to follow the instructions in this case, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Your Honor, I don't believe I have any more questions.
All right. Questions, Judge. Okay. No further questions for this juror on those issues then. So, Juror 1537, there's one other topic I want to go through with you. And that's on the part of your questionnaire called Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty. That's on page 12. Do you remember going through those questions last week and answering them in your questionnaire?
Yeah, yes.
And are your responses there still the same as the way you would feel today?
Yeah, it seems like my answers were basically just kind of, I waffle a lot, so that's accurate.
And that is fine. Part of the way the questions are designed is to get people to think about it and be accurate in how they feel. So in filling those out, maybe that's more of a thinking about things hypothetically, but here in this case, it may be necessary for you to actually make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. So when you're thinking about these answers, please consider that it should be done as if it would be absolute and carried out in the case. So you had an answer on, do you oppose or support or oppose the death penalty? You said support, and you said very slight lean, I think. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay. You also had a group of seven choices about what most accurately represents the way you feel about it. You circled part C, which says you generally favor the death penalty, but would base a decision on it. I'm sorry, I'm going to read that. I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that the way you still feel about the death penalty now?
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right. Are you in favor of the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
No.
All right. Finally, is there anything about your views on the death penalty that would prevent or substantially impair your ability to serve as a juror or perform your duty in this case?
I don't believe so, no.
All right, so you would follow court's instructions regardless of whether that was to consider or not consider the death penalty?
Correct.
Very well, thank you for your answers. Does the state have any additional voir dire?
We do not, Your Honor.
Nothing further, Judge.
All right, without further voir dire then, juror 1537, we have one other juror to talk to, and then we'll have you return to the courtroom for more instruction. That will be juror 1577 next. All right, thank you for returning, juror number 1577. We've got some additional questions for you outside the presence of the other jurors. State, have any voir dire as it relates to any potential bias in this case?
Just briefly, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Ms. Beatty.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi.
So you had some media exposure in this case, is that correct?
If I did, it was passively. I don't watch the news. So if it was on TV at a restaurant, it was there, but I don't participate in watching the news.
And in your questionnaire, you indicated that you haven't formed any opinion about Mr. Daybell.
No.
Is that still true?
It is.
Okay. I have no additional questions for this.
No questions.
All right. All right, there were no further concerns on hardship either, so the court will next address this part of your questionnaire dealing with the death penalty and your attitudes regarding the death penalty. Do you remember going through those questions and answering them in the questionnaire last week?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to advise you that it may be necessary for you in this case to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. Remember that any penalty you consider should be done as if it is absolute and will be carried out in this case. Do you understand that?
I do.
All right. In your questionnaire, when you were asked if you support or oppose the death penalty, you said you support it. Is that still the way you feel today?
Yes.
In addition, when given a range of choices about what most accurately represents the way you feel, you selected an option that reads, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that still the way you feel about the death penalty as well?
Yes.
All right. So to be clear, that part that says you would follow instructions in the case, you would be willing to do that?
Yes.
Do you favor the death penalty in every case where a murder has been committed?
No.
Okay, is there anything about your views on the death penalty you haven't mentioned that you think would substantially impair or prevent you from serving as a juror in this case and following instructions relating to the death penalty?
No.
All right, that concludes the court's voir dire for this juror. Does the state have any voir dire?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
That's okay, Your Honor. All right, thank you, counsel. Juror number 1577, if you'll return to the jury room with the bailiff, we'll have you back here shortly. Counsel, could I have a quick sidebar with you before we bring the jurors back in and adjourn for the day? Thank you. Please be seated. We're going to have this jury panel then brought in for passing for cause. If you could instruct the marshals to please have the ready man and the jurors brought back.
Judge?
Yes.
Counsel approach briefly.
Yes. Thank you. Please be seated. All right. We're going to take a final inventory of the remaining jurors here to match against our seating charts. If you wouldn't mind, please hold up your red cards and we'll take our notes. Okay. Thank you. I'll inquire of the state now, and we are back on the record in the case here. Does the state pass this remaining small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Does the defense pass this small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, thank you, counsel. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've now been passed for cause. We're going to continue on with our proceedings and have you in contact our jury commissioner, Randy Rutland, on your way out, who will give you further instructions regarding when you will return. While you're waiting, please don't do anything to investigate the case, look up the case. If you see the case passively in media, please try to avoid any exposure to that so you can remain impartial in the case. And don't discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. However, you are permitted to discuss the fact that you may be serving as jurors with family, friends, employers, etc., to make arrangements, but don't engage in any discussion about the case or the facts. We will be asking you to sign an affirmation coming back that you have followed that instruction. So with that, that will conclude our juror selection for today. Does the state have anything further before we adjourn?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Anything further from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Counsel will adjourn until tomorrow. All right. Okay. Thank you. We'll see everyone tomorrow.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.